That's right. I'm Ann Eller right here with you this morning. It's a very special honor that I have here this morning to have our Army Colonel David J. Clark on the air with us. He's currently stationed at the Pentagon. He is the current Director of Foreign Intelligence and Director of the Korean War 60th Anniversary Commemoration Committee, which is what we're going to be talking about. He also continues to serve as the Director of Foreign Intelligence, Army Deputy Chief of Staff G2 at the Pentagon, where he has served since his arrival in September of 2009. Welcome, Army Colonel David J. Clark. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Ann. Thank you very much for having me. I'm well, thank you.
Oh, well, that's great. That's great. Well, coming up this Saturday, July 27th, a big remembrance, 60 years since the Korean War, the armistice. What has this meant to you, being in charge of this program?
Well, really, it's been fantastic and a great personal, I've felt so strongly about it. I've been on active duty for 30 years in the United States Army, and I'll tell you, this has been one of the most rewarding assignments that I've had. Getting to meet America's Korean War veterans, and I mean all across the country, and hear their stories has been just very personally rewarding. And I'm thrilled that the nation is going to be able to thank them on the 27th publicly for their brave service 60 years ago.
You know, I went on an honor flight for World War II veterans, and now our program in South Carolina is doing it for our Korean War veterans. And I tell you what, I know what you're talking about when you talk about the stories and everything. It is just phenomenal, the wealth of information and the pride that they had in serving our country.
Well, that's so true. And the men are very humble. They don't expect this from us, but they deserve it from us. And, you know, as many Americans know, the Korean War has been referred to as the Forgotten War. And there are a number of reasons why that occurred, maybe because of its positioning in history between the end of World War II and the start of Vietnam. It kind of got lost in the shuffle. The war itself ended in military stalemate, and it was the first time in American history where we had had a less than decisive outcome. And it wasn't a very popular war because the country had been, you know, was ready to move on after the end of World War II. But it happened, and it was a very intense three-year war with a very high cost in terms of lives and casualties for the United States military. But also, I think the important thing is that it was, you know, through the lens of history, we realize now how important and successful our intervention was in Korea. And we have to look no further than today's Republic of Korea and see how successful that country has been to realize how important this was for our country.
I couldn't agree with you more on that. But and besides that, there was a tremendous loss of life in that 3 years.
That's true. Over 33,000 Americans were killed in action and over 100,000 wounded in action. And there are still, to this day, almost 8,000 missing in action that have not been accounted for. So that is a terrible toll when you compare it to other wars where the United States has been involved. Those casualty figures are certainly on par with any other war, and you know, not to compare, because any loss of life is terrible, no matter how much. But I think a lot of Americans are just unaware of the cost in terms of life that was expended in that war.
Now, having been to the, I've been to the Korean War Monument, and the one thing that is impressed. There was two things actually that impressed me. One is the gauntness, and they really captured what you can almost imagine them going in Korea, in the brush, in the country, and everything. The gauntness and the starkness of it. But number two, what always impresses me, and I've been there actually twice, is every time I've been there, and I understand this goes on regularly, is from Korea. There's fresh flower wreaths there every time.
That's very true. That's a very interesting observation, too, about the monument itself. I agree with you. I think most Americans, when they come upon the Korean War National Memorial on the Mall in Washington, they're blown away by it because many don't know about it. You know, the World War II Memorial and the Vietnam Wall have been, I think, much more publicized. But when they come upon the Korean War Memorial, it's striking with its 19 figures that represent the various services that fought in the Korean War, and the wall with the etchings of all the faces of different mm-hmm. service members who served. It's, I think, incredibly poignant. And if you see it at certain times, like some people have said they visited it during the wintertime when there's snow on the ground, you get a really chilling sense of what occurred over there, or at nighttime even. It's a haunting memorial, and I think very powerful. But you're right about the wreaths from the Republic of Korea in the Korean-American community. I don't think there's a more thankful nation or ethnic group in the United States than the Republic of Korea and then the Korean-American community. There's such a sense of thankfulness for what the veterans did. Every time a Korean official comes to the United States, whether it be an ambassador or a senior military leader, one of the first stops when they come in from the airport is to the Korean War Memorial to lay a wreath in honor of those who sacrificed so much during that war. And I think that's absolutely amazing, and it's something that we don't see very often from all of our allies.
Right, and that's why I wanted to make that point. And then the other thing is, you always see Koreans at the monument. It's amazing, you know, that they are, and they're getting their pictures taken, and they're very, very proud of our relationship.
I agree. I think it's, you know, some of them, if you talk to Korean Americans whose parents or grandparents may have fled Korea during the conflict and came to the United States or came shortly after the war, they look at it as they owe their very existence, their very livelihood, to the fact that these men and women from the United States and other allied nations came to their assistance at the time of need. They feel very sincerely, and maybe they're exactly right, that they wouldn't be here if it wasn't for these men and women.
Well, you know, when you look at North Korea and the starvation and the destituteness and everything of North Korea, and then you look how South Korea has been able to flourish, it really makes a statement unto itself.
It sure does. I think that's the other thing about this 60th anniversary ceremony. It reminds us of that very fact, that one country has been very fortunate, the Republic of Korea. They've prospered, and there's 43 million South Koreans that live in freedom and have an opportunity to better their lives, while the poor folks in North Korea are still living in a virtual gulag under a very authoritarian and a tyrannical regime. And, you know, maybe if we hadn't intervened, that would have been the fate of the entire peninsula.
Sure.
Very likely.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I know you're having this big ceremony to honor all our Korean War veterans. We're also having in Spartanburg and Charleston, U.S. Senator Tim Scott is having a ceremony here. But tell us about what you're doing, and I believe it's even going to be televised, isn't it?
That's true. Well, it's great that Senator Scott is doing that. We chatted a little bit before I came on the air, and I think there are ceremonies taking place across the United States in many communities. We realize, of course, that all veterans aren't able to come to Washington, D.C. to be at our commemoration. So we just encourage all Americans to, on the 27th, if they have a Korean War veteran in their family or a friend who's a Korean War veteran, you know, say thank you to them for their service, because it's a small gesture, but it's very, very important. Yeah, we're extremely excited about the 27th here in Washington. I think it's going to be a great event. We're expecting 7,000 to 8,000 veterans from around the country to join us. We've invited the President of the United States to be our keynote speaker. Secretary Hagel is the host. And the program will begin with a pre-program at 8 a.m. in the morning on the Mall, followed by the formal program beginning at 10 a.m. And we expect it to conclude somewhere around 11:30. So it's a full morning of activities. There will be videos, performances from the Korean-American community, speeches from our senior officials from across the government, and we'll have contingents from all of the other allied nations that participated in the Korean War, along with the United States and the Republic of Korea. So it's I think it will mean a lot to the veterans to see that the nation take time out of its busy schedule and say thank you for what they did.
And they're also, aren't they going to get a congressional certificate or a certificate of appreciation?
Well, we've been distributing certificates for the last 2.5 years because the commemorative program actually began on the 25th of June 2010, which marked the 60th anniversary of the start of the war. So we've used the last almost 2.5 years to travel across the country and present those certificates at community events all over the country. So there are some veterans who have still not received those, and if they have not, they will receive them. But there will also be a medal presentation from a Korean organization that has raised money in order to present a medal to each of the veterans at the ceremony. So I think that will be very special too, because it's just yet another thank you note, so to speak, from the Korean people for what they've done.
Well, I know that those pieces of paper are so important, because it puts it in writing how important their service was to our country.
And you couldn't have said it any better. That's exactly right. And it seems like a small gesture, but you know, it means a lot to these guys, particularly, you know, guys that came home to basically indifference after the war. There was not big ticker tape parades and fanfare like there were for our World War II veterans. And their service was no less important or no less courageous and brave. And I hope in some small way this can make it up to them.
Absolutely. Well, Colonel Clark, thanks so much for calling in. Now, this will be televised. Am I right on this?
Oh, yes. Yes. I'm sorry. I forgot to mention that. We're expecting that C-SPAN will begin televising in the morning for the pre-program, and it will also be picked up on the Pentagon channel. So if you have that in your market, you can pick up the program on the Pentagon channel, but it'll also be streaming on the Pentagon channel website.
And that is,
and
what is that?
Go ahead, Ann.
I'm sorry. What is that website?
I don't have the call letters for that, but
okay.
I'm sure if you Google Pentagon channel, you can your listeners can find it.
Sure.
Our website is the Korean War Commemoration Committee website, and that can be accessed at Korean War, all one word, the number 60.com.
Wow.
And on our website, you can find out all the information about Saturday's event in Washington. And also, it's a great resource for anybody that just wants to learn about the Korean War. There's some great historical tabs on there that you can scroll down and see the chronology of the war, read testimonials from veterans. It's quite a good site, and I think your listeners would enjoy it.
Absolutely. You know, we're going to have at the upstate ceremony, we're going to have Lieutenant Bill Funches of Clemson will be the keynote speaker. He was a prisoner of war in the Korea, captured by Chinese soldiers after his platoon was overtaken by thousands of enemy troops. And he was imprisoned in a mud shack with 11 seriously wounded men for years before being one of the last POWs released in a prisoner exchange. How about that?
What a story. What a story, yeah. You know, it's easy to take for granted the good things that we have in this country, and you think of the suffering that some of these men went through to ensure the freedom of not just the Korean people, but of our own way of life, because the Korean War also stopped communism. in its tracks at a time when it was threatening us early in the Cold War. And, you know, God knows where it would have gone from there. A lot of these guys put it all on the line, and they were very young at the time. We're talking the average age of maybe 17, 18, 19 year old, gone off to war to a far distant place that most people didn't know about. And they did an awful lot for us. So that's why this is so important. They're not going to be with us forever, this generation. They're getting up there in age, and this may be our last opportunity to really say thank you to them.
Well, Colonel Clark, it certainly sounds like you were the right person to put in charge of this event. We'll be hopefully able to see that. I plan to be at the one in Spartanburg Saturday morning. We'll be thinking of you. Thanks so much for calling us today.
And thank you for having me.
All right. All right. You have a good one. And July 27th, 60th anniversary. Thank you so much, Colonel Clark.